know it has been a while, but welcome to another TTJ Talk podcast produced by the tech juggernaut at TTJTech.net. Let's get it going, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks, to another TTJ Talk podcast. Hey, everything has been going absolutely great. Praise God. Been very, very busy. Lots going on, but it's all been good. We have started our 2019 and spring 2020 training season. We completed the iOS at the Next Level course already. You can find all of the recordings from that course, though, on the blog at ttjtech.net. Now, we're in our second course of the season, Living the Connected Digital Life. We've had only one course so far, and we are about to upload the first recording to our blog at ttjtech.net. So take a look sometime here after listening to this podcast to find that. Also, that course is still very much available. Each Monday we meet at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 2:30 Central, 1:30 Mountain, 12:30 Pacific. And you can join us. You can go into Dabble. That's D-A-B-E-L, Delta, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, Lima. It is a free app for iOS and iPadOS. You can download that app. You can listen to our class without even creating an account. But if you do want to create a free account, you can use your Apple ID with the new Sign In with Apple feature. And you don't even need to provide any email address or password or anything. It's really, really simple to authenticate with Touch ID or Face ID. And you are in and you've got an account and good to go. Or you can sign up with Facebook. But again, you also don't even need an account to join. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to look for Phantom Shadow. That's P-H-A-N-T-O-M space S-H-A-D-O-W. Phantom Shadow is the streamer who happens to be Trainer Cliff, one of our trainers on our instructor team, and he streams these on Dabble when we teach them every Monday afternoon. So look for Living the Connected Digital Life every Monday afternoon by Phantom Shadow. What is that course about? Well, it's about having all of your stuff, your documents, your photos, music, TV shows, movies, books, and everything else that's important to you in your digital life available to you on all of your devices. We're going to talk about cutting the cord with Apple TV, something we've been discussing here on this podcast. We're going to talk about security systems, home automation, and a whole lot more. We'll be talking about the connected digital life some on this podcast as well, but I highly encourage you to get involved in that course. It's fantastic information for you to really help you to maximize the apps and the hardware and the software and the services that can make your life a whole lot easier. Right now, though, why don't you grab that cup of coffee and that coffee cake? Because it's time for some news updates. macOS Catalina is the word of the week, or that's more than a word, isn't it? But anyhow, macOS Catalina 10.15, I believe, has just been released yesterday to the general public, and it offers a ton of new features. It offers the Find My app. It offers the screen time feature that was brought to iOS last year, and it offers the breakup of iTunes in favor of the individual apps for TV, music, and podcasts, and of course, Apple Books already existed. I want to make sure you understand the iTunes Store is not going away. The iTunes Store is very much alive and well, and will remain so for the foreseeable future. From what I know, anyhow, Apple hasn't announced any differently anyway, let's put it that way. But it's around, it's the best place to buy your movies, your TV shows, your books, your apps, and everything. I mean, App Store, iTunes Store, Apple Bookstore, different names, but all under that sort of umbrella. And certainly, you can still do that. And all the iTunes features like iTunes Match still available as well. The only thing that's changing is the iTunes software application and only for the Mac. If you are a Windows user, you can still use iTunes. That's how you're still going to access the things that you have accessed before. So there's a lot to talk about with macOS Catalina, but of course, there's other things in the news as well. Now, some of it is a lot of sketchy rumors I just want to gloss over. Is Dish Network going to buy the DirecTV satellite portion of the AT&T's TV offerings? I have no idea. You know, they say, yes, we are. No, we're not. It's never been talked about. Yes, it has. There's all sorts of rumors floating around. I don't know the answer. What I can tell you is November 1st is going to be a big day for TV lovers with the release of Apple TV Plus, and again, November 12th with the release of Disney Plus. I'm excited about both of these, folks. Apple TV Plus looks stunning. And it seems to be a no-brainer because for just $4.99 a month, you really can't go wrong. All original content, movies that are going to even be in theaters. I mean, we're talking big theatrical releases here, big name actors and actresses and producers, directors. And one of them that was just announced is that Apple will be streaming the a new Christmas Carol live-action musical starring Ryan Reynolds, and I don't know, I can't remember the other name, I apologize, there is another one. They're spending millions of dollars to make this production awesome, and I'm sure that it will be, and I assume it's going to be ready for this Christmas, but I really don't know. They didn't give a release date, but it is good to keep in mind. There's going to be a lot of great content on Apple TV+. And remember, if you have already within the past, well, since it was announced, in the September media event, and any time now, if you buy an iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, you get a year free of Apple TV+. So give that a try. We're going to do it. Then, November the 12th, Disney lovers, again, a no-brainer. This Disney Plus service looks to be absolutely amazing. The content, the original content, the Disney Channel and Disney Junior and Disney XD, the Marvel content, the Star Wars content, kids shows, even some National Geographic shows making their way to Disney Plus right at launch, and eventually every movie in the Disney catalog. This promises to be just amazing. So I highly encourage you to check that out as well. In addition to that, I want to share with you, let's see, what else do we want to share here from the newsroom, as it were? Of course, technology news we're talking about. Some little gaming news regarding Apple Arcade. Crossy Road is going to get a new game, Crossy Road Castle, exclusively on Apple Arcade. And Texas Hold'em, which has nothing to do with Apple Arcade, but it is now available on the iPad. It's Apple's game of Texas Hold'em that they released for the iPhone, originally the iPod, then the iPhone, and now iPad. I have a feeling there may be a degree of accessibility to this game. I don't know how to play Texas Hold'em, or even if it's a game I'm going to like, but it's Apple, so I got it. And it said something about accessibility enhancements, so I'm going to give it a try. And we're going to soon do a podcast on some accessible games, just a few, and we're going to play them, and you'll even get to hear me play with my daughter on a wonderful little trivia game that we like. Also, coming up, of course, on TTJ Talk, you can find our continuation of Apple TV, which we're going to do today, and some more Apple TV segments, episodes coming up, as well as our speakers. We're going to talk about smart speakers some more and do our smart speaker showdown, as promised. Now, today I want to also tell you some news. TTJ is now on Dabble. I mentioned a few moments ago, Phantom Shadows Dabble stream every Monday afternoon. That's Trainer Cliff. That's because I'm also hosting the Zoom portion of that class and doing a lot of the speaking when we're teaching and sometimes demoing. And so Cliff, who also teaches, as do all the instructors, but he has graciously offered to make one of his main focuses the Dabble stream. So he's using his live Dabble stream for the classes. But I also now have a Dabble stream. I was waiting for Dabble, D-A-B-E-L, to add the sign in with Apple feature so I didn't have to create a Facebook. And they have done so. It works great. And I am now on Dabble. And so you can find my Dabble at M space life. That's M-S-P-A-C-E-L-I-F-E. If it matters, the S in space and the L in life are capitalized. The rest is not. I don't know that it matters. But M space life, M-S-P-A-C-E-L-I-F-E, a name that I also go by when doing some Christian-based podcasts and other things. And so there's going to be both that and tech stuff on the M space life Dabble stream. We will be making more announcements concerning Dabble very soon. I think Trainer Cliff texted and said, coming at you from Catalina. So he is now live on, he's now using Cat. Can we bring him in here? I think we ought to bring Trainer Cliff in. We're going to see if he's available to do that and willing to talk to us for just a couple of minutes. Trainer Cliff's going to come in, and he's going to talk with us about Catalina and his experiences for just a few minutes, and we will then continue our discussion of TV, because we've got lots to talk about with that. But, you know, Catalina is a big thing. It's something that Apple has been promising, and just like with the other updates, there's been a lot of new things to talk about. And so we're going to bring Cliff in a moment. Now, I also want to remind you that we have gotten some new features in a couple other areas for iOS, though. We have seen the release of live radio in iOS, iPadOS, and HomePod, and this is fantastic, as promised. You can find it in the music app, in the radio tab. You might have to do some scrolling, but eventually you'll get to broadcast radio, and you can find stations from iHeartRadio and radio.com and so on. You can also ask Siri to play them or just tap on them in the music app to start. And of course, Siri can play them for you on your HomePod as well. Now, this is in addition to the Apple Music Radio that we've already known and loved and continue to. And along those lines, Apple has opened up the Siri kit to music, third-party music apps and services. And two big names have already jumped on board, Pandora and Spotify. That's right. You can now ask Siri to play music on Pandora or Spotify. So this is really, really big and really important and I think really awesome. I personally prefer Apple Music. It is my preferred music service of choice, and I always use it and I love it. But it's nice to see that those other ones are available in that way as well. And here's hoping SiriusXM decides to integrate with SiriKit, because I wouldn't mind being able to tell Siri to play The Message or Hits 1 or something like that on SiriusXM. I think it'd be a great option for us, and something we'll really look forward to. We'll be right back on TTJ Talk. Well, hey, there's Trainer Cliff. We had no idea we were going to do this. Completely spontaneous, but
right. My desk is all messy and stuff, so excuse the noise if I move stuff around.
So you are now on Catalina. I was just doing my tech news segment and just finishing up telling the folks that that was just released to the public today, which is, what, 10.15? Is that what it is?
I think that's what we're up to, yeah.
I don't even use a Mac anymore. I couldn't even tell you. But what's the first thing you noticed that stood out when you installed Catalina? Anything right away?
For the average user, it probably would have, but I was expecting it because, remember, they told us that the iTunes was quote unquote broken up. So, I mean, but I haven't had a chance. I'll do it now, but I opened up the music app and that was normal to me because I'm used to seeing that table. The first thing it asked me if I wanted to sign up for Apple Music for 3 months, of course, I said no because I do my own thing, as everybody knows.
Right, right.
A couple things that did happen. One, when I first started, or when I first installed, because I did a clean install, I partitioned my Mac into two drives. I got
one. I want to come back to that in a minute too. But okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it was a clean install. So of course I had to sign into iCloud, authenticate with 6-digit passcode, turn on keychain, and all that good stuff. I mean, that's off. I mean, I can do that in my sleep. So, right. But the one thing that did happen when I first installed is my USB Apple keyboard did not work. I had to pull out my Logitech Easy Switch keyboard that, you know, can, you know, luckily I still have it around because I don't use it much anymore because, you know, the Mac keyboard sits right on the desk and it's just easier when I'm streaming our classes with Dabble and other podcast things that I'm doing. So I ended up using Logitech one to finish the setup, but I ended up doing, you know, the old Windows rule of just restarting. And once I did that, then the USB keyboard worked.
That's very interesting. Hmm. So then it was okay after that. Now,
yes.
You mentioned in that text message there that it is definitely different. So besides the breakup of iTunes, which I did tell the folks about as well in the podcast here. And so that's been replaced by what? Music, podcasts, TV. And of course, we already had the books app.
Yes.
What else stands out to you that is different in Catalina?
I would say it's a little snappier. The dock has more options. Like, of course, screen time is there. Family sharing is not in iCloud no more. It has its own tab. So you can go in. When you first open up system preferences, the first thing you see is screen time and family sharing. Then it has iCloud. Then you go into what they call the grid view and get into the rest of the options.
Interesting. So where the iCloud was just buried as another preference pane before in system preferences, it's now kind of more like it is maybe we would say on iOS or something, that it's given prominence at the very top.
Right.
Okay. And I assume that all of the features, you probably haven't had a chance to play with this yet, but all of the features like sign in with Apple. Do you know if sign in with Apple has, I guess that's going to be on the Mac as well, right?
I'm assuming that, you know, as long as you have an Apple ID, you can work with it.
Exactly. And last year we already had we already got the Home app, the Voice Memos app. Is the Apple News app on Mac OS as well?
Yes, it is. Okay. Now, I've never opened it up, so.
Oh, okay. All right. And did you unlock your, now that you're all set up, do you use your watch to unlock your Mac? You can still do that, right?
Yes, I do. Okay. And that is easy. Now, I just opened up the app, the TV app, while we were talking. The first thing it asked me to do, that if I wanted to take a tour, of course, I said no. Then, of course, it did a little hiccup, so I closed it and opened it back up. And what I had to do, as people may remember that aren't using a Mac anymore, you have to choose a library for music, and now you have to choose a library, I guess, for your TV shows to go if you download them on the Mac and watch. I mean, because you're going to be able to watch TV on the Mac now. So I had to create a library for where my TV shows or whatever the content's going to be is going to go. So I'm assuming that you're going to have to do that for podcasts also. I haven't opened up that app, and I don't even know if I'm going to, because I love my podcast app on my phone. So,
right. Now, with the TV app, and maybe you don't know the answer to this yet, but this is something I'm very curious about. I can understand being able to watch my purchased movies and TV shows in the TV app on a Mac. I can understand using Apple TV channels on the Mac, like Stars and HBO, because they also function right in the Apple TV app. But what if there is something in my Up Next queue from, let's say, Hulu or the Food Network Go app or Netflix? Will I be given the opportunity to be taken to the website if, in fact, there is a web version of that? Or I wonder what will happen in those cases.
Well, we're definitely going to have a follow-up podcast to this, because I definitely haven't had time to do that while you were talking.
Yeah.
I did open up my, you know, a what to watch list, and it does have, you know, the stuff that I usually watch, suggestions and things of that nature. I haven't clicked on anything because, again, I'm just, you know, just getting started.
Just getting started in it.
So
yeah.
I just, you know, I'm not a new user, but I want to be careful on what I do.
right. Absolutely.
I mean, I haven't, now, I haven't even went and grabbed numbers and pages from the App Store yet. That's how, you know, fresh it is. When I sent you that text, I had literally just got the USB keyboard to work and I was, you know, dancing around and looking at stuff. So.
Right. Absolutely.
One thing that I did notice, though, as you know, I'm the keyboard king. So I have my keyboard commanders. A couple of them didn't work. And what happened was the system decided either this was the new default or they just decided to change it, because I used to have the option key number 3 would open system preferences for me. Apparently they decided that option key A was the more feasible key command for that, because that's what it was. So that was a little different.
Okay, that's interesting. So some of these maybe that now got their own designated command, then the other version of that command didn't work any longer.
Right, it just beeped at me.
Right. And you're running Catalina on a Mac Mini, right?
Yep, Mac Mini 2014.
Okay, so we know we can go pretty far back.
Yep, right before I came on, I looked at an article that from 9to5 Mac that said you can go back as far back as 2012. So,
okay.
And that's what I assumed, you know, based on that, the processor in that machine.
Right. I have a Mac for a customer. Well, you already know this, but the listeners out there, I have a Mac that I'm actually doing some work on for a customer and a friend right now. So I do intend to see what Catalina looks like and play with it a little bit, so that at least I can help some people and answer questions if I need to, kind of along the same lines as what Cliff is doing. But as all of you know, we've really replaced our computers with iPads. And remember, we talked earlier, we're going to have a course on that in April. But you may want to attend, because it really does. It is more than possible, and especially now with iPad OS.
Now, I did click on a show. I didn't know what service it was going to take me to. It was called The Real Housewives of Atlanta, not Atlanta, but Beverly Hills. One of them. I don't know. One of the Real Housewives. But it took me to the apps or the iTunes store to want to buy. So apparently, that's not one of the channels. So I was trying to test to see if it was going to ask me if I was going to go to Hulu or wherever the show may be, but I'm assuming that it was trying to get me to get the season pass of that one. So,
okay, so possibly if in fact the app isn't available for macOS, like in the case of Hulu, for example, is that we don't even know if that's where it was originated.
Now, this is a tab I haven't seen before. Well, I can't say I haven't seen it, because I haven't been on my Apple TV as much with this beta as I have in the past, because I was so into the iPad OS, as you know, but there's a kids section in here now.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's a nice feature, and it lets you even watch things by this pick your pals. You can, you know, go through and it looks like Disney has said that the Disney Plus app will integrate with the Apple TV app. So hopefully you'll be able to, you know, pick any of those and it'll open right up in the Disney Plus app after November 12th. Now, tell us about you mentioned the partitioning, and I want to go back to that. So what you did is you used the disk utility, correct?
Yes.
To create a second partition, to split up your hard drive into more than one partition. And on that second partition, you then installed macOS Catalina as a fresh install,
right?
Correct.
Well, technically I did both, because I remember I talked to you on Friday, or when was it, whenever we talked, I think it was Saturday, and I had gotten my Mac ready. I did a clean install of Mojave, and I made two partitions right off the top, because I knew I was going to run Catalina and I didn't want to run into the issues of something not working in Catalina, so I would still have that Mojave backup. I usually do this when I did run the Mac full time a couple years ago. I would always do the partition first, and then once the new OS was stable, then I would delete the old one and just go with everything on the new one. So that's what I've always done. I mean, not always, but when I became experienced with the Mac and knowing how to partition. Now, when I was doing that, though, I got a prompt from Mojave that said something about using a container instead of a partition, because it's easier to do it this way and that. But I didn't know nothing about that, so I did it the way I knew how. Of booting into a different system. Apparently, you can have Catalina and Mojave running side by side and not have to reboot from one to the other. But again, I had no experience with that, so I didn't do it.
Okay. And when you turn on your Mac, what is going to happen? Are you going to get a boot menu, or is there a default? And how does that work?
Well, whatever system you were in last, that's which one it boots into. Now, you can hold down the option key, and as a totally blind user, I know that it's going to be in alphabetical order. So if I want to be on Mojave, I'll have to go arrow once to the right. If I want to go into Catalina, I'll just stay on it and hit enter. Also, I'm in Catalina now. If I want to go into Mojave, all I got to do is go into system preferences and delegate what my, it's called startup disk. And I'll just
The system preferences and then startup disk. Right.
So I'll just
that.
Pick the startup disk I want to go to, which would at this point only be Catalina or Mojave because them's the only two I have installed. But I mean, I'm assuming that some people, maybe they have 2 or 3 terabytes and they have 5 or 6 systems, but you know, that's not me.
Right.
I'm just gonna have 2. Right. But yeah, you can go in there and pick the system you want it to start up into by default.
Okay. But from a cold stop, then you turn on the Mac and immediately hold down the option key for a few seconds, and then that is literally the only place, I assume, where there's not voiceover, right? I mean, that would be the only time. And again, you're just going to use the left and right arrows and then press return to select what you want.
Right. And the voiceover starts talking and tells you to log in with your password and all that.
Right. Now, something we often advise folks who are upgrading their, for example, iPad to the new iPad OS is, of course, to make sure that their iCloud backups are current. Now, the Mac doesn't have iCloud backups. People can use Time Machine with an external hard drive to back up their system. But tell the folks, if they don't want to use an external hard drive, why should they not be worried since there's no iCloud backups for the Mac? Why should that not be a big concern for them?
Because most of, except for documents and possibly purchased music on CDs, everything else is going to be in the cloud anyway. I mean,
and actually even documents, if they store them in iCloud.
Right.
Drive.
I was about to say that there's a checkbox when you first set up and you can go, you know, do it later and set system preferences if you so choose. There's a checkbox that says store all my documents in the cloud. I never do it because I'm not on the Mac like that anyway. And sometimes it, you know, I don't want to fool with that. I mean, because I got all my stuff in iCloud anyway, so I don't need to do that. I don't need to have my documents folder over there. I mean, it's convenient for people who do that. I know some people who do, but I don't do it. And to back up a little bit, even if you don't want to do it on an external hard drive, I haven't done it in a while, but I also think that you can run or save a Time Machine backup on your system if you have the space, or I've done it on my network attached storage. There's actually a Time Machine partition already set up for you unless you delete it. And you can use that as a Time Machine backup also.
Yes, there is something, and I don't know if you have to start with an external drive or if that's been changed. I don't know even what the protocol is anymore for that. But there was something where at least snapshots were saved onto onto the local system. And so that does indeed provide you some degree of access to that. So you did not restore from a Time Machine backup?
No, I did not. I just started fresh. I mean,
yet you have everything you need. You have all of your you know, your calendar events, your photos, your apps, everything because of iCloud. That's what we really want to emphasize.
Right. I do everything in the cloud. Folks. I mean, I don't use my documents folder on the Mac because, I mean, personally, I don't really use the Mac that much. I just recently started using it again when we started streaming into Dabble because we had the overflow for the class, and then I recently got into a little bit of GarageBand, and I'm thinking about picking up the app called Logic to create my own music and for my podcast. And on top of that, I just seen an article that says people who are using Logic not to upgrade to Catalina yet because something is not carrying over with their XML iTunes or something like that. I forgot
what that was about. There were certain DJ apps. DJ Pro is not one of them, but there are certain DJ apps that have not updated their software yet to use the new frameworks to access music on a person's iTunes library. Apparently that actually was already made available to developers when iTunes 11 was released, but some developers just never made the change. And so now they are forced to make the change because if they don't, then users won't be able to use that app with their their music library.
Right. Now, I did just open up the podcast app just to see what it had. And, of course, it just told you to, you know, it had the podcast that I'm subscribed to. I mean, it had this one podcast, TTJTech.net. I mean, I don't know who runs that one, but it was the first on my list. But one thing that was interesting, though, it had audio routing. So if you wanted to go open up the Mac, the podcast on your Mac, it had my two Apple TVs and my Bluetooth speaker to route the audio to, so I wouldn't have to listen to it on my Mac or within headphones. So that was interesting.
That is really interesting. Wow. All right. Well, do you have anything else that you you would like to add about Catalina or anything, you know?
I mean, everything. I mean, I'm not going to say everything because I haven't been able to get into everything yet, but it seems like it's another under the hood enhancement per se. I mean, there are a few new things. Of course, you got the iTunes that broke up because you got the TV music podcast app. Of course, we already have books. I haven't even tried that. We definitely got to have a follow up because I haven't even tried to do the ringtone thing because I use GarageBand, as you know now anyway. But for the people who will still want to do the ringtones or syncing, like with shared apps like Kindle, where they put their own Mobi books on there or whatever, I'm going to try these things just to, you know, see how easy it is to, you know, assure the people that, you know, iTunes may have been broke up, but everything is still possible. I have no desire to do Sidecar and use my iPad as a secondary display because I can't see anyway. So I can't attest to that. I'm just going to attest to things from an accessibility standpoint. So people, because, you know, a lot of people, especially the blind community, do not like change. I'm not trying to offend nobody. That's just what I've come across over the years. When Apple makes some changes, people get real scared and real say, I'm not going to upgrade or I'm not going to do this and do that because it's not going to be easy. And let me tell you, people, Apple does not do anything without us in mind. They have a whole wing, an accessibility line that we can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where we can get help. So I don't see Apple putting anything in place without making sure that we can use it first. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I absolutely would agree with that statement. And it is true that they really do have not only the accessibility support line, but they really do have a team of people that when a new feature is released, that team of people is asked, is tasked with the job of, what do we need to do to make this work for the voiceover users? What do we need to do to make this work for the, you know, whatever other, you know, the magnification users or any of the other accessibility features? That is something that is forefront in Apple's mind, and it really is baked into their DNA. And we should never expect any product or feature to be released without the accessibility component of it in mind. I even believe, and of course I can't speak for Apple, I don't know, you know, Apple Arcade is a lot of third party games, you know, and people are saying, well, there's really no accessible ones yet per se. I even believe it won't be long before we see accessible games in Apple Arcade. Again, that's not from Apple. That's just my personal feeling on the subject.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things I planned on doing because, I mean, you get 30 days free. So why not try and see what is accessible instead of complaining about it before you know?
Right, right. And thus far, there's one or two games that I sort of think, I don't know, maybe I could learn to use them with VoiceOver. But I will tell you that your kids will enjoy Apple Arcade, whether you do or not.
Right, I did see one of the classics in there from the 80s, Frogger. I don't know if you remember that game, but that's an old Atari 2600 game back from the late 70s into the 80s, and that's a classic.
Yeah, yes,
it's a game basically where you jump from lily pad to lily pad trying to get away from, I forgot exactly what you have to do, but it's basically you have a frog and you're jumping from lily pad to lily pad trying to get out of the pond. So it's a fun game.
Right, right, and it's been revamped. It's now Frogger in Toy Town, but yep, it's, and what you'll notice, and what our folks who are more focused on the sounds of things than the sights of them, you will notice that these games are very, very obviously high quality games because you can tell by the sound effects, by the voice actors, by the music, you know, you can tell by all of those things that really they are very, very high quality games. So it's certainly worth the money if you've got a sighted family member, friend, or what have you. And I guess you can play that on the Mac too now.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that you can. Yes. Yeah. One thing that is people may want to know. Okay, so if they do have side of family members, how do they share it? Because it's in family sharing, how do they share Apple Arcade? Because say I open it up for the free trial, how does it get to all other five devices?
What I have noticed on that is that it just, because you have the device enrolled in family sharing, it will just work when you open Apple Arcade on another family member's device. It will just show you the games available, and there'll be a get button with them, just as if that were the device you subscribed on in the first place. It doesn't appear that you have to go through anything more complicated than that.
And for what is it right now? There's like over 100 games for what, $4.99
a month. Yep.
And you can play them as much as you want to, phone, iPad, Apple TV, Mac. Yes. I'm assuming I haven't seen it, but I haven't been looking for it either. So I was going to things that I wanted to make sure that they worked. So
right. We have plans to do, and my daughter may do it, but my son was going to do it, and then he broke his hand being the goalie in soccer, so he hasn't been playing video games because he can't do that with his cast. But he gets his cast off next week, and we're very interested in pairing his Xbox controller with our Apple TV, because some of the arcade games actually say a controller is required to play this game.
One game I mentioned said it's going to be there, even though I bought it and bought the extra boards for it, because it's a classic, is the Pac-Man game. I want to know if that's going to be an Apple Arcade, because my kids and my wife, man, there's days where they battle that game for at least 4 or 5 hours. I end up falling asleep because they get so intense.
Yeah. That is a classic for sure.
So, but yeah, once again, how's Carson's hand doing anyway? I mean, I knew he broke his hand and all that, and the cast is never good. I had one when I was like in eighth grade too, which is about the age that he's at right now too. So, and that's not fun.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing well. He's doing fine. It really isn't bothering him too much. He did have some free time today, and he was going to try to play the Xbox, but after a few minutes, he said, it's just not happening. He said, I can't, aim properly and all these other things, so he didn't do that, but he's looking forward to next week. It seems to be.
Is there going to be any PT he has to do?
They haven't told us yet. So they're going to take an X-ray on Monday to make sure everything's where they hope that it is. And then, assuming that it is, they'll take the cast off, and I guess we'll get all the aftercare instructions then. So,
okay. But yeah, give me a weekend to play around with these extra features and shoot me a text of anything you want me to specifically look at. And then we can do a follow-up next week.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the spur of the moment. Glad to have you on here.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. Well, take care. Have a good night.
You too.
And folks, we'll be right back on TTJ Talk.
We're back with a little more discussion on some features of the Apple TV. We're first going to talk about one more aspect of watching TV, and then something else. Let's talk about watching TV. So far, we've discussed how you can use the Apple TV app, one of my very favorite apps, and the best way to have all of your content made available to you across all of your devices. No longer do I have to think, ooh, it's Thursday night. What do I watch on Thursdays? Because it's just there, ready to go at the head of the queue on all of your devices. Progress is synced. You have the Watch Now section, and it's integrated into so many apps. Apps like Food Network, HGTV, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and a lot more. Even supposedly the new Disney Plus app that's coming soon. So it is great. Now, we've discussed using the Apple TV app with purchased content, movies and shows, and your rented programs as well. We've discussed the features and sections like Watch Now, Up Next, in the Watch Now section, Up Next, What to Watch, the dedicated sections for kids, movies and shows and sports, sections for live news and sports, your library, and a whole lot more. We've also talked about using the Apple TV app to subscribe to and watch Apple TV channels, premium services like CBS All Access, HBO, Stars, Tastemade, PBS Living, Smithsonian, Cinemax, Showtime, Curiosity Stream, BET Plus, and a epics and a whole lot more. These and so many more available to you right in the Apple TV app. Commercial free, on demand, often with a live component as well. Ready for you to watch across all of your devices anytime. The best way to watch TV. And we've also discussed how you can subscribe to television services, live TV streaming services like Philo, Hulu with Live TV, Sling, YouTube TV, and many more, accessing all the programming in their own dedicated apps, often with DVR and a lot of other great features, 72-hour rewinds, and more. But you can also use TV Everywhere apps. I mentioned a few of them before. Food Network Go, HGTV Go, Nickelodeon, the Nick app. Apps like Hallmark Channel Everywhere, and many, many more. Many of these integrate with the TV app. But even if they don't, you can use them on Apple TV and all of your devices. So we've discussed how to watch programming from popular broadcast TV channels or local channels, essentially. We've discussed how to watch quote-unquote cable TV channels. That's a name that I think needs to change. And, you know, we've certainly discussed dedicated streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and a lot of others, even some free ones like Tubi and Pluto, and more. All of these truly do provide an unmatched, in my opinion, experience when coupled with the integration that Apple devices offer with iCloud, the integration of hardware, software, and services, making your connected digital life just absolutely incredible on all of your devices. We've also discussed the Siri remote. You can use Siri and touch gestures to navigate, and it is just an awesome, absolutely fantastic experience. But what if I have home movies and shows? Now, these might be, you know, from something we took of our family, or, you know, various other things, and we're not going to here get into legality issues and discussions of that, but maybe I have various home videos that I want to be able to watch. There are ways to do that, and one of my favorite ways is a specific app. You know, tvOS has an app store. It has many apps that are also available in the iOS and iPadOS app store, and perhaps others, and their own take and their own spin on things. And one of the apps you will find is an app called Infuse. You can get Infuse, and then you can subscribe to you can pay a fee to get the pro features unlocked, an annual fee or a lifetime fee. And they're up to Infuse Pro 6 now. Now, what Infuse Pro 6 does is it handles all of your video content from home media, whether it's in the iTunes formats, you know, MP4 and so on, or not. And this content can be viewed then on Apple TV, iPad, iPhone, etc. And where are you going to store the content so that you can access it on your Apple TV? Well, my recommendation is a device called the WD My Cloud, made by Western Digital. Just the one that says My Cloud, not the My Cloud Personal or anything like that, just the My Cloud. I was actually given this as a gift, and I love it. And you can access it right from within the Files app on your Apple devices. But when you want to watch the programming, you can use Infuse to do that. Infuse is synced with iCloud, so it keeps track of everything you're watching in iCloud across all of your devices. If you want to share Infuse with other users, you can sign into Track TV at no cost. And no extra cost, and that becomes available. And you can also get all the metadata. So if you have movies and shows in there that have metadata to go with them, that can be manually input or downloaded if it's available, you know, with episode images and, you know, cover art and all of these things as well. It is fully accessible with VoiceOver. You know, it supports all the great features that you would expect. And it is a fantastic app. That's Infuse Pro 6 or Infuse 6 from FireCore. Infuse also, if you don't want to go the route of buying a WD My Cloud, does integrate with Dropbox and with other third-party cloud services as well. So there are other options in addition to using a network-attached storage NAS, as it's called, device like the WD My Cloud. The iCloud Drive framework does not currently allow for Apple TV apps to do that, so it would have to be like Dropbox or something, but there are cloud services that are supported for Infuse. Now, if you prefer to go a different route and you have a Mac or PC in your home, you can also use home sharing with your Apple ID, and you need no third-party apps for this whatsoever. You do not need any third-party apps or additional hardware. You simply can store the video files on your Mac, and when you store them on your Mac, as long as your Mac is running, is on, and is signed into the same Apple ID, and of course it's on Wi-Fi, same network as your Apple TV, you can go into the Computers app on tvOS, and you can indeed watch your home movies and shows from that. The caveat is you got to keep the computer on, of course. But if you have a computer in your home, then that's another way to go at no extra cost. But if you've done like I've done and replaced your traditional computer with an iPad, you might consider an app like Infuse. Now, that does really round out the discussion of how to watch content. But there's other things that you can do with your Apple TV. Apple TV has Apple Arcade now, and we've already discussed that today and in other podcasts. $4.99 a month for right now, 100 games, I'm sure more on the way. Probably reached, I don't know, I think they're at 100, but somewhere around there, very close to that. Very high quality, fantastic games, family sharing, all of these things. And don't forget, movies and shows support family sharing. Apple TV also has the music app. You can, if you are an Apple Music or iTunes Match subscriber, all of your music will already be available, playlists and everything, and access to Apple Music Radio and all the other features that you know and love, including the new Dynamic Lyrics available in tvOS 13, where the lyrics are synced with the music as it's being sung. Karaoke night has never been better. Now, there are some family karaoke-type apps, too, but we'll come back to that. So the music app. Another app on tvOS is your Photos app. Again, this is best if you're a subscriber to iCloud. If you use, rather, you don't have to subscribe, but if you use iCloud Photo Library. Again, all of your photos, your memories, your shared albums, your videos, all available on your Apple TV. You also have the Podcasts app, and this allows you to listen to all of your favorite podcasts. And then, of course, there is a wealth of third-party lifestyle apps and a whole lot more. You've got timers and clocks, beautiful graphic apps with things like fireplaces and aquariums. You have recipe apps that you can follow chefs as they're cooking and see all the ingredients on the big screen. You've got shopping apps. You've got Grubhub so that you can order food right on your Apple TV. You have home design apps. Never looked better than when they're on the big screen. You've got apps for digital courses. The possibilities are almost endless. And because of and thanks to the tvOS App Store, it truly is a revolutionary experience. And there are also other games available apart from the Apple Arcade service as well. A few of the favorites I'd like to give a shout out to are Beat Sports, Fibbage, Sketch Party TV, Just Dance Now, and also Song Pop and Sing, both apps, the Smule app, the Sing app, that karaoke app. You can use your iPhone as a microphone to sing. Fibbage, though, really, really fun game. It kind of reminds you of Balderdash, but it asks you questions, and everybody has to come up with answers that seem believable, but that really are not the true answer to the trivia question. And everybody can play with their iPads and iPhones. It works with VoiceOver. We love that app. It's a fun game for the whole family to play. And so, you know, there's so many apps that are available, and you can browse them, and you can access purchases. There's even the, I believe it's still in the App Store. iBooks has been renamed to Apple Books. This app was called iBooks Storytime. It was Apple's way of letting you have your audio, no, not your audio books, but your read aloud books on the Apple TV. And you can also access iTunes movie trailers, that app, and you have the event apps for Apple Events. Every time there's a big Apple announcement, keynote, you know, you can watch that on your Apple TV. And then one other feature that I'd like to talk about today is AirPlay 2. Now, AirPlay 2 has several components. So you can use AirPlay 2 to share the audio that you're listening, that, of what you're watching on Apple TV on other devices. And this is great when you have HomePods. We, for example, have two HomePods, one in the living room and one basically in the kitchen. When we are watching movies, we often use the HomePod as well as the speaker that comes from our soundbar that the TV is connected to. So we really do get an awesome audio experience. The HomePod in our kitchen is what I sometimes use when I'm having lunch and watching TV, because I don't even need to see the television. I can just listen. And so I'll route the audio to that kitchen hallway HomePod. But you with AirPlay 2 can actually route audio to multiple sources. As I said, the TV and a HomePod, or both HomePods and so forth, as well as your AirPods. And then you also have AirPlay 2, which can mirror whatever is on your iPhone or iPad or Mac to your Apple TV. So that means websites, keynote presentations, books, other games that are only available on iPad and so forth, they can be shown on the big screen for the whole family to participate in. And there are even some games which specifically have been designed for a screen mirroring experience. They make use of it as a second screen so that the iPad or iPhone is showing one thing while the big screen is showing another. But right on the App Store of the Apple TV, there are so many games, bowling games, tennis games, just all sorts of, you know, air hockey, golf, all kinds of things, trivia games, you know, just what, Hangman, all kinds of things that you might, you know, think about. Now, the other component that I want to briefly just touch on here, with as it relates to the discussion of games, is the remotes. And many games do support the Siri remote, but as I mentioned earlier when discussing with Cliff, Apple TVs do support game controllers, and they have really since their very beginning. We have one called the SteelSeries Nimbus. We actually have two of those, and they're nice because they charge with lightning cables, so it fits beautifully into the Apple ecosystem. But now also with iOS, iPadOS, and tvOS 13, these devices now even support the Xbox One S game controller and the PS4 DualShock game controller. And that's really awesome, and they will work with, I believe, with the Mac as well, but certainly all those are the devices that I've mentioned. So, Apple TV, suffice it to say, fantastic device, one of my favorite Apple devices, though I enjoy and really like them all. If you missed our previous episodes, please go back and listen to our previous Apple TV episodes. We're still going to have more on Apple TV, but we're also going to get back into our smart speaker showdown, our discussion and reviews of various speakers. We have got some great guest interviews coming up. We're going to do more on the connected digital life. We're going to get a wonderful tips episode out here soon for some of the new operating systems. So really and truly, folks, we have a lot going on. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Don't forget to subscribe to that blog at ttjtech.net so that you'll always be current on what's going on. Follow me on Twitter at TalkTTJ, Periscope, TTJTalk. Send your questions to us by iMessage, if you have it, to thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on TTJ Talk. Bye-bye, everybody.